Welcome, everybody, to this week's Fantasy Flex with Brian Gephardt, Bo Johnson. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast on 92.9thegame.com. And I'll just come right out of the gate here. This week, we learned that the NFL is the NFL. This isn't college football. Anybody can win on any given Sunday. And the Bills routing the Vikings in Minnesota was the biggest surprise, biggest upset, gambling-wise, Vegas-wise, since 1995. And really, really screwed over some fantasy players this week.
Yeah, I think they made a movie about that, right? Any Given Sunday? Isn't that a thing? Because, yeah, man, 27-6. Who would have saw that coming in? Who would have seen angry Tom Brady and the New England Patriots fall into the Detroit Lions? And I think this is more of a situation of Matt Patricia knowing that Pat's offense, like the back of his hand, probably, and them, Bill Belichick, having the ego to not change a thing and just think they could just go in there and steamroll these guys. And that was nowhere near the case.
It's amazing how much they don't care about September. It's just fascinating with the Patriots. Yeah. But this is the first time, I believe, since 2002 that they've won back-to-back games by double digits. That's the concerning part. It's not, you know, they're not losing by like a field goal or a touchdown. Yeah. So they've got some major issues.
They're
going to
lose.
Sure.
They're going to do it right. Coming out party for Kerryon Johnson, finally, for versus the New England Patriots. 100 yards. But I'm kind of like not quite on the Kerryon Johnson bandwagon yet, because LeGarrette Blount was sure as hell in this game too, Brian, with 14 carries of his own. So this still kind of seems like it's kind of a committee, and they're not willing to let Kerryon just kind of carry on the ball.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah, it is a bit of a timeshare, but hopefully week by week by week, this needs to become Kerryon Johnson's backfield.
It should.
We should be at the point by week 5, week 6, week 7, where he's getting 70 to 80% of the work. And Blount comes in, maybe spells him for some of the goal line carries, probably get some vulture TDs, yep. But some of that short yardage situation. I mean, this guy is just clearly so much better than Blount at this point in the season.
I also learned that the Falcons have themselves a pretty good number two receiver there. His name's Julio Jones. as Calvin Ridley has arrived. 3 touchdowns for Calvin Ridley in the Falcons' loss to the New Orleans Saints. This poses as an interesting situation for teams. If you're a guy who, when looking at fantasy matchups, if you go all the way down to busting out like cornerback matchups, this is a nightmare for teams now with Calvin Ridley seeming to come to the forefront. I'm not sure if Mohamed Sanu should even been owned in any fantasy leagues, or if he was, he's not even owned in the dynasty that we're in. But the New Orleans Saints put Marshon Lattimore on Julio Jones, and Julio Jones was silent for the first half. Calvin Ridley goes off for 3 touchdowns. In the third quarter, Sean Payton takes Marshon Lattimore off of Julio Jones and puts him on Calvin Ridley, and then Calvin Ridley was kind of quiet for the first or the second half, but he did all of his damage in the first half. 3 receiving touchdowns for Calvin Ridley. They have a legit 1-2 combo over there in Atlanta now, and it's going to be a real tough thing for teams unless you have 2 elite cornerbacks, and the Cleveland Browns come to mind just off the top of my head. I know they play them later on the season as one of the only teams that might be able to go matchup for matchup with these guys.
And I think the biggest thing to take away, obviously, if Calvin Ridley's out there, go grab him. He's still available in some leagues, but most people have him owned in some capacity, yeah. But he's someone you probably have to play moving forward. And the biggest thing is Matt Ryan's value, yeah, is so much increased now with all of the defensive injuries that the Falcons have had. You know, Neal out for the year, Jones on the IR, not ready to come back until a minimum week 9. Now we've got Ricardo Allen out for the year. So they're going to be in shootouts week after week after week. And to have another surefire type of a player, clear-cut number 2 wide receiver on the team in Calvin Ridley, that bodes very well for Matt Ryan's value the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had a lot of fantasy points in this one. I think he threw for 5 touchdowns. Matt Ryan became the 5th quarterback to throw for 5 touchdowns and 350 yards and lose. And 2 of those defeats by those quarterbacks have been by the New Orleans Saints defense.
You were waiting to say that one.
So I think Eli Manning threw 5 or 6 touchdowns against the Saints in a game that Drew Brees threw 7, and then Matt Ryan on Sunday. So, hey, whatever. It's whatever. Yeah, I know the defense has some issues. And all of a sudden, after 3 weeks, it's kind of looking like they're a little suspect. We're going to get to that when we get to Fire and Ice later. But what had happened was...
Well, one other thing before we move on to what had happened was, Bo, I do want to stick with some quarterback situations here for just a second.
Oh, my bad. I jumped the gun. Here,
no worries. Like I didn't even no say worries. You got your Saints thing out, and then you were just ready to move on. But Jimmy G out for the year. Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco with a torn ACL. This downgrades everybody in San Francisco, yeah, and they're really a team to kind of avoid moving forward altogether. Also, one other thing before we get to what had happened was Pat Mahomes is incredible. And just
three more touchdowns, huh?
And right before we got on here, he actually became the betting favorite in Vegas to be the MVP of the league. So he's someone that's pretty much the number one quarterback in fantasy right now. Is someone that you should probably rank as the number one quarterback in fantasy. But now you can tell me what had happened.
Now, do you think that this Pat Mahomes thing is going to keep going? I mean, there's no way he can keep going at this rate. He's on pace for like 80 touchdowns.
No, I don't think it's going to be quite like that, but he's going to
have... At some point, he turns into a rookie, right? No?
I think it's...
I mean, it's not like he's doing a lot of this. Like, you know, Cam, Russell Wilson, the rookie quarterbacks that found fantasy success were all, most of them using their legs. Most other quarterbacks don't have success as a rookie. It's normally 3 or 4 years down the road before you can depend on them as a fantasy option. Pat Mahomes is doing it through the air. You know, now they've beat up on a couple of crappy teams, but I mean, he has shown no signs of letting up. You just have to, this goes against the grain of anything and everything that is football, right? For a rookie to have this much success.
Well, I guess the thing is,
not even a rookie. He's a second year player, but first year starter.
A couple things for him. He's got the weapons. He's got Tyreek Hill. He's got Travis Kelce. Sammy Watkins has found life again. Yeah. Andy Reid's a really good coach. Again, well, you know, everybody's got their Andy Reid jokes. I'm sure he'll find a way to screw over the team at some point in the season. And the Chiefs' defense is terrible. So they're going to have to score points to be in these games.
A lot of games, too.
And they have to go ahead and put up those 30 or 40-plus points. But, yeah, he's someone you just got to just fire off every week and hope to have a big week.
So what had happened was Sony Michel was one of my fire picks this past week. And now, while Sony Michel only went off for 50 yards to the tune of 14 carries, he was kind of taken out of this game by the fact that Detroit Lions kept just scoring points. Sony Michel's time is coming. All right, so I don't think this was a bad call still. I mean, 50 yards off of 14 carries, did not score. Sony Michel has all 5 of the Patriots' red zone rushing carries for the season. They believe in this kid. They want him to be the guy. James White's still going to be the third down, passing down guy. Sony Michel, the New England Patriots have invested a first-round draft pick on this guy. They want him to be the first and second down back on this team.
Is Sony Michel someone, do you think he's the number one back in New England in all formats moving forward? Rest of the season?
Yeah. James White's going to get the passing down look, so he's still a good flex play in PPR leagues, but I would roll with Sony Michel if I had the choice of any of them.
I'm right there with you, especially in a standard league. PPR is probably close right now with James White and him, but the thing is, Rex Burkhead, everyone, he's someone we talk about every week, but he's just going to be constantly banged up. He's just that kind of guy.
He already is, yeah.
Exactly. So, Michelle, the red zone carries that you mentioned, that is a very key stat. He's someone that you probably go target in leagues. You could probably get him for relatively cheap right now.
And he's no slouch. They do use him a little bit in the passing game, too. He's just probably not going to see the field much on third down.
What had happened was, for me, Bo, Latavius Murray. Now, I mentioned Dalvin Cook as one of my fire picks last week. That was on Tuesday. Injuries came out a little bit later on in the week. Dalvin Cook wound up not playing, and then you go, all right, we got Latavius Murray. Perfect matchup. Home favorite by 17 points against the lowly Buffalo Bills. They're coming to town. Vikings are going to just
steamroll them, right?
It was one of those when we were looking at the score. I know we kicked off the show with this, but 17-0 first quarter. Oh, the Bills. I'm like, are my eyes working right? It's not Minnesota that's up 17-0. So wound up being a very crazy game. But Murray, he wasn't terrible, but he did burn me in a couple leagues. I think he had about 8 points in a PPR league. And I wouldn't play any or either a Minnesota running back this week. They're at the LA Rams coming up on Thursday night. Cook may or may not play. Murray, so it's just something to avoid, at least for this week.
Yep. So what had happened was with Corey Clement, 16 carries on 56 games for 56 yards in a game where the Eagles ended up winning. You know, 16 carries, not too much of a slouch there. But Wendell Smallwood got the same amount of work as Corey Clement did. So Corey Clement blows up the week before when Ajayi goes out. I still want to pay attention to Jay Ajayi and his injury history and his injuries going forward. He's still a little banged up. No, we have no idea if he's going to play this week or not. I still like Corey Clement in that backfield with Ajayi not there. I kind of like him with Ajayi there because you know Ajayi's touches are going to be limited. So Corey Clement fails to find the end zone. If you did start him and you only got five and a half points, you know, my bad.
I started Clement in 2 leagues.
I did too.
And he's one of those tough ones because the Eagles are almost becoming the Patriots in this sense where they have 3 or 4 running backs.
Sproles is still lingering around.
Yeah, they're going to use them all. You don't know what to do when. So I'm kind of waiting for Clement to have one good game, maybe 1 or 2 good games, and hopefully I could sell him to the Ajayi owner or if Smallwood's going on. He's one of those, if you can If you can get rid of him for something decent, I think it would be worth doing, especially if you're good at running back. But it's an interesting situation to monitor for the Eagles moving forward. My next what had happened was, and I think this leads into our told you so kind of there as well. Mine is David Johnson, and I told you to sit David Johnson. He wound up scoring a TD on the day and wound up having an okay day, but you take that TD away, he was awful again. I mean, and he's someone that's really tough to figure out what to do with him moving forward. And Bo, I think you and I have kind of different approaches of how we want to handle David Johnson at rest of season here.
Yeah, so, and I got Chris Carson on here too. Now, Chris Carson's not a player that I brought up last week, but he is a player that I benched in several leagues. Good job there, Pete Carroll, on using your brain and running this kid where he's supposed to be run. That's as a running back and not on special teams. 32 carries for 102 yards and a touchdown. So his yards per rush are not all that high going off of 32 carries. But look at that much volume. Like, volume is your best friend in fantasy football. Without the volume, you're never going to have a high floor. So if this keeps up, Chris Carson could be a valuable weapon, especially since a lot of people that like to jump the gun and blow things out of proportion probably drop Chris Carson, just like Kerryon Johnson might have been dropped after the first couple of weeks. So if he's out there on your waiver wire, that might be a name to go look at.
Penny, do you want Penny? It's going to be our weekly update on me trying to maybe trade you Penny.
I'm definitely interested because I do want full control of that backfield. Yeah,
absolutely. I kind of just want you to be Team Seahawks for us in 92.9. I have Lockett. He was on my bench, and he's someone I should play moving forward.
Well,
but
if the Russell Wilson owner is out there in this league and you want to trade him to me, I'll give you Matt Ryan for Russell Wilson right now, whoever it is. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would
take...
Do you know
who it is?
No, but I would definitely take Matt Ryan right now.
You think so? Not in a dynasty? I don't know, man.
Oh, in a dynasty league.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah. In a dynasty league, I'm still going Russell Wilson. Rest of season this year, I'd probably go Matt Ryan.
Well, the Seahawks, I don't know if I want any either of them, to tell you the truth. I don't believe in this Matt Ryan that would just... This is not atypical Matt Ryan. This is not... Like, he's a good NFL quarterback,
sure,
not a good fantasy quarterback. Yeah. Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
So, we'll see.
I told you so. So what you were saying, David Johnson, I mean, look, I'm going to use this as an I told you so, and I put David Johnson as an ice player last week, and I'm going to stand by that. 12 rushes for 31 yards. Are you kidding me? 4 receptions for 31 yards and a touchdown. Now, the touchdown came on a long pass, not something you typically see from David Johnson. They usually kind of swing the ball out to him in the flat and let him run up the field. So he is involved in the pass game, but not typically like this. It was like a 32 or 22-yard touchdown. You take that away, and I know, you know, the whole outlier game and whatnot, you take the touchdown and that long reception away, he's got 3 catches for like 5 yards on top of 12 rushes for 31 yards. This is not good. This was not a good performance. 15 yards for David Johnson, or 15 points for David Johnson in this game. I'm starting to look at BG like, who can I take? This first-round pick of David Johnson is kind of derailing my entire fantasy season all of a sudden. I think the league where I have David Johnson, I might be 1-2. So if you're wanting to jump ship and bail on this Arizona Cardinals offense, like with Fitzgerald too, where are you at with, say, a player? Say you're a David Johnson owner. What are you looking for in return if you're trying to trade David Johnson? Might be a good week after he catches a long touchdown pass, because that's kind of all that the person receiving David Johnson might look at if it's the right trade partner, you know?
If they just look at those total points. Yeah, you had asked me maybe come up with a couple names. Who are you trying to trade for? Those type of things. Me right now, I'm still taking the approach. I have him, and I actually sat him this past week in this league. But I think moving forward, I still kind of want to play the wait-and-see game for a couple different reasons. One, they paid this guy. So
yeah,
this is someone they want on their team moving forward. Well, whether they want him or not moving forward, he's someone who's going to be on this team for a couple years. And Josh Rosen is going to be officially the starter heading into this week. He's going to have that full week of rep and practices and all that type of stuff. And I feel like he just has to be better moving forward. I think he still has the talent. And unless I get, you know, like a back end wide receiver one, you know, someone like a Hopkins who hasn't been stellar so far this year.
Oh, that'd be a steal.
I mean, I still want an elite type of player for David Johnson if I'm getting rid of him at this point. Because I want to wait and see with how this whole thing works out with Rosen being the starting quarterback.
I'm thinking of a back-end RB1. If I were to try to swap like RBs for RBs, and I think I'd have to keep David Johnson if I was offered somebody like a Jai or I don't know. I think where I'm at with David Johnson is I'm wanting a running back off of a stellar offense with a good offensive line as opposed to a crappy offensive line and a crappy offense. And I'm looking at Mark Ingram, who's coming back in 2 weeks off of suspension, on this Saints offense that continues to put up points, and maybe they might have to for the rest of the season. You know, definitely have some secondary problems there. Mark Ingram's coming back from suspension, put up 1,000 yards last year. Both him and Kamara did. They were both top 10 running backs last year. I'm not saying bail on David Johnson if you're in a dynasty, but in a season-long or a redraft league, if you find yourself 0-3, it's time to start making something happen. You can't afford another loss. That's kind of where I'm at.
Would you want to – I mean, would you do it straight up, Mark Ingram from David Johnson?
I probably would, yeah.
I see it. If I were doing that deal, I would want
– maybe a throw-in.
Another piece, yeah. Even if it's just like a flyer on a wide receiver type that you're like, eh, maybe he could become a guy at some point.
If I had somebody on the end of my bench that I was willing to drop, because you're going to have to get rid of somebody if you take on two players, so – it would depend on what was out there. You know, every trade is going to be unique and different. But, I mean, if I'm looking, that's kind of the area that I'm looking at. I'm looking at that, like, 12th, 13th, 14th ranked running back right now, or somebody coming off a suspension like Ingram, who is going to get work. The Saints are running Kamara or passing or throwing to Kamara, like, into the ground right now. He's a young kid. He can take it. That's not what I'm saying. But they are going to kind of even that workload out once Ingram does get back.
No, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, they want that balance. Yeah. They need that balance. It can't all be Kamara and Thomas, who have been absolute fantasy studs so far. My first told you so, Giovanni Bernard, he was one of my fire picks last week. He had a touchdown, about 90 total yards on the day at Carolina, which they're not the Carolina defense of old, but they're still pretty good against the run. Yes, Coleman ran for 100 yards against them the week before, but this is still a solid defense, not elite or anything like that. He was clearly the workhorse back with Mixon out, and I think we're going to be talking about him again coming up with our fire picks later on for this week. What's your next told you so there, Bo?
My next I told you so is going to be Robbie Anderson, man. Two receptions for 22 yards. It is definitely the Quincy Enunwa show in New York, as it looks like Sam Darnold and Quincy Enunwa have quite the bond, or the besties, off of playing with the second team. You know, so Enunwa was definitely the one that Darnold trusts the most. He's throwing all the targets his way. Robbie Anderson is a super talented wide receiver. It just doesn't look like the New York Jets are going to put up enough offense to be able to sustain two relevant wide receivers on this team. So Robbie Anderson's actually a player that after I put in my waiver wire picks this morning, Robbie Anderson was dropped on two of my teams to try to pick somebody up off the waiver wire.
I dropped him last week in one league. I think I'm going to drop him in another league this week. Cut him. I mean, at this point right now, he's a poor man's Kenny Stills, which is
boom or bust.
Kenny completely. Stills is already a poor man's somebody poor else. But he's a poor man's Kenny Stills. My next I told you so. I told you to sit all the Titans. And that was the case. A 9-6 game, I believe, was the final in that one. That was a good play. I should have told you to just not start anybody at all in
except
any capacity.
Except for the kickers. You can't tell about that.
Except for the kickers. So Jags didn't play well. The Titans are just, I don't know how that team is 2-1. They found a way, but they've been very banged up. The fact that they're 2-1 means Vrabel might be the right head coach for that squad. And they will probably find their way into the wild card if they find a way to win games like this.
That's just insane.
One other told you so, going back to Thursday night's game, which feels like forever ago at this point in time, Browns got their first win in 2 years. I told you Carlos Hyde, he had 98 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns in the Browns win there on Thursday, and will be somebody that you want to probably continue playing in almost every matchup. There's only a handful of ones where he probably won't be going off in lineups.
So how about Ryan Fitzmagic, who started to turn kind of back into a pumpkin, is what everyone on Twitter was saying, from the princess that he is. But he goes off because the Steelers' secondary and defense is that bad, and they can continue to be a defense that you can pick on. I don't know if I'm using Fitzpatrick going forward. There's also actually rumblings of Jameis Winston having his job back, like we knew that there would be. It is Ryan Fitzpatrick, after all. But 30 for 50, 411 yards, 3 touchdowns, but 3 picks. Also, and the pick six like was thrown directly to the guy, hit him in the numbers. I don't even know who the hell Ryan Fitzpatrick was trying to throw the ball to. But if you did, run Ryan Fitzpatrick out there for one more time this past week, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's very interesting. This blew my mind at the end of the Monday Night Football game. They dropped the nugget that he is the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to have 3 straight 400-yard passing games. And there's still magic as far as fantasy points go, but I don't know how that situation's going to pan out there in Tampa.
I'm telling you, man, it's one that you're going to want to get away from soon. If you can get something for Ryan Fitzpatrick this week, do it. Dump him. Get something in return. Trade him. Do whatever you got to do.
Maybe package him with David Johnson.
The honeymoon's almost over. There you go.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on the Fantasy Flex on 929thegame.com. Coming up after the break, we're going to give you our fire and ice plays and talk a little waiver wire. Welcome back to the Fantasy Flex on 92.9thegame.com. I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson, and this is our fire and ice pick segment. And we've been pretty damn good so far this season as far as our accuracy with our fire and ice picks. And I'm going to have Bo kick us off with his first fire pick of week four.
And to reiterate that, you're damn right we have. And these aren't cheese picks either. These aren't chalk picks.
No.
Todd Gurley's not coming out of either one of our mouths to start him. But, yeah, man, trying to take players that are, outside the top 20 of the national ranks or whatever and give you some starts. Now, we do have bye weeks coming this week, this early, week four. Bye weeks are coming.
That sounds like a drop moving forward.
So we have the Redskins and the Panthers on a bye, most notably Christian McCaffrey, you know, Devin Funchess off of the Panthers. Over on the Redskins, you got Jordan Reed. So I'm going to start us off with a wide receiver this week that will be or should be on fire, and that's going to be Sterling Shepard of the New York Giants versus the New Orleans Saints. And quite simply and obviously, there is a hole at the Saints cornerback number two position, and this is very obvious from the amount of points that they've given up in the first 3 weeks of the season. Ken Crawley is there, but he's not playing like the Ken Crawley of last year, who was a lockdown corner and a great complement to Marshawn Lattimore. So I'm not sure what they're going to do going forward, but you can guarantee that Marshawn Lattimore, since he does shadow, will be on Odell Beckham in this game. I'm not saying not start Odell Beckham. He'll still get his, but I don't know that he's going to have a huge game. But I'm talking about Sterling Shepard here. He's going to get Ken Crawley. Patrick Robinson also went out of this game and got hurt, and he's probably going to be out, you know, maybe a month with a high ankle sprain. So that's our number three. That's our slot guy. So even if Sterling Shepard moves into the slot, which he does sometimes, you can look for this to probably be a shootout again. Look for like a 35-28 game versus the Saints and the Giants. You know, Saquon Barkley might have a good game, but the Saints actually have a pretty good running defense. So look for Sterling Shepard to kind of put up some points for your fantasy team this Sunday versus the New Orleans Saints.
Couldn't agree with you more about Sterling Shepard, especially with Evan Ingram out. He's going to be Eli Manning's safety blanket, as you mentioned, with the strong coverage there on Odell Beckham. Shepard is someone you need to pick up if he's out there. He's someone you can probably trade for if you're that person who needs a win, especially in a PPR league coming up over the next few weeks. I'm going to roll with Gio Bernard again. I'm just going to keep that train rolling until Joe Mixon gets out or gets back, most likely, and I don't expect him back this week. There was a report that came out last week. I think it was Schefter that said he might play against Atlanta, and I was like, how?
Huh. Interesting.
Which was it blew my mind. It was from a legitimate source. I forget if it was Schefter or Ian Rappaport, but Gio Bernard is going to be a monster against the Falcons. They've been pretty bad against pass-catching running backs, and he's going to get the carries there as well. I expect a shootout there at the Benz, and Gio Bernard will be an RB1 this week.
So I got give me some John Brown this week. Should be on fire versus the Steelers. We've already touched on how horrible the Steelers' defense and secondary especially is. They've allowed 10 touchdowns through the air thus far. That's in three games. Now, the Ravens are probably going to be playing from behind. There is the one of the biggest splits in football is home bin and away bin. Well, the Steelers are at home, and you can look for the Steelers to probably light the Baltimore Ravens on fire, which means that if they're playing from behind, they're going to throw the ball even more. So as long as Joe Flacco isn't throwing the ball to Pittsburgh Steelers, John Brown should have a big game in this one.
Brown is looking like the main guy there in Baltimore and the guy to own. And Flacco, while he doesn't put up big numbers or great numbers, he typically has that one receiver he likes and kind of sticks with him. Yeah. So I like that play this week. And while we said we don't give you cupcake kind of picks, the chalk type of picks, I am going to give you one that's a pseudo chalk pick here, but someone you might be shying away from this week. Looking at what he did last week, that's Stephon Diggs. Vikings got crushed at home and are this past week, like we talked about earlier, against the Bills, and they're traveling to LA to take on the Rams, who a lot of people think are the best team in football. And you think this might be a stay away game. That's not the situation, because Rams cornerbacks Marcus Peters and Talib, they're both out for a couple weeks each. And I expect Diggs to have a good game. I expect Cousins to bounce back in a big way, and he's someone you can fire off with confidence. And I think he'll have a top 10 type of wide receiver performance this week.
Should be lots of points scored on Thursday night and a great game to kick off the fantasy week. So give me some Philip Lindsay here. Although he's had a couple of good games, he was booted out of this past weekend's game. Give me Philip Lindsay versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs are giving up 111 rush yards per game. You can absolutely run on the Kansas City Chiefs. The only thing you have to look out there for is for Pat Mahomes. If he continues his Pat Mahomes type ways and lights up the Broncos early, then you might see a little bit less Philip Lindsay and a little bit more Philip Dorsett, as Dorsett is the kind of the pass down guy in Denver. But I like Philip Lindsay to have a good game here versus the Chiefs.
I've got Philip Lindsay down here as well, but I'll double down as far as Broncos running backs go. I think Lindsay and Freeman are good plays this week because I think there'll be just a ton of points on the board here. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. And someone, I mean, if you have even any of the Chiefs, obviously Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey and Watkins, start all those guys, yep. Start Sanders, start both running backs for the Broncos, and start Case Keenum if you're in a pinch, if you're maybe the Cam Newton owner in this game who has the bye week this week, fire off everybody in this game. One more bit. You got one more over there, Bo?
Yeah, give me some Kenyon Drake. You know who I guess I probably just gave it away. You know the second worst rush defense in the NFL is? It's the New England Patriots. New England Patriots are giving up 143 rush yards per game. The Miami Dolphins somehow are 3-0.
How?
This is a division game. You know, the Patriots already lose to the Dolphins a lot. Like, they very rarely season sweep them. It's always 1-1 or they lose to them twice. I don't know if it's just them looking beyond the Dolphins. I don't know if they don't like playing in the sun or something down in Florida. Whatever it is, the Dolphins always give the Patriots a hard time. You can look for that to continue this week as the Miami Dolphins might be able to run all over the Patriots. I don't know if I believe wholeheartedly in Ryan Tannehill and this Miami Dolphins passing attack, but at least in the first half before the Patriots kind of start to catch fire, and I do believe I'm not giving up on Tom Brady and the Patriots offense yet, but I do believe that they will be able to move the ball against the Patriots, at least on the ground. So roll out some Kenyon Drake this week.
This game's really interesting because you start talking about must-win games. The Patriots are not ever in a must-win situation in September, but this is as close as it gets for them. They are 1-2. They have lost two games in a row by double digits. They are in New England, and the Dolphins are 3-0. I mean, they go down three games in the division if they lose.
That's
this one.
That's tough to come back from.
Yeah, you're playing catch-up the whole time, and I don't know. I don't see Drake having a big game, but I like the matchup. It makes sense on paper, and you'll probably prove me wrong, so we'll see. Speaking of prove me wrong, we have a little discrepancy with my next pick, which is my fire play, your first ice play. That's Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers. Of course, he's in a running back by committee situation. That's been well documented with him and Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery in the mix there as well. But you just watch the games. And this is his first game back. He had the two-game suspension. He's just clearly the best, most talented running back on this team. And if the Packers have any sense and really want to make a run at this thing, want to get to the playoffs, they have to start to run the ball, establish the run, to give Aaron Rodgers a break as far as not putting everything on his shoulders. They've got a home matchup against the Bills. They're coming off a loss. The Bills are coming off a win. And I just think this is the type of game where Aaron Jones gets 15 to 20 carries, get 100-plus, and a touchdown.
So this does seem like Jones should get more carries than he did last game. Williams still out-touched him by like 5 or 6 carries, if I'm not mistaken. There is going to be a game where the Green Bay Packers do go with the most obvious and best runner, and that is Aaron Jones. He did have the longest run from scrimmage in this past Sunday's game. I don't know if this is the week where they kind of go against that RBBC. The Buffalo Bills had the 5th best rush defense in the NFL. They're only giving up 80 yards a game on the ground, and they've forced 5 fumbles from running backs, which is tied for 2nd in the NFL. I just don't see this being, if you have to roll Aaron Jones out there as an RB1 this week, to me, I think you might be in trouble. That's why I have Aaron Jones under my ice list of do not starters if you have a better option.
All right, I'll kick you off with my first ice pick here. Also a running back coming off a good week, Isaiah Crowell. Sure, he had a great game this week against the Browns, his former team, 2 touchdowns, but he's going to get shut down this week at Jacksonville. In fact, I would avoid all Jets, especially with the Jags coming off this tough loss to the Titans.
They're going to be pretty angry.
This should be a game for the Jags where if you're one of those teams, if you're one of those serious Super Bowl contenders, one of those AFC contenders, you need to take care of business this game and really beat the hell out of the Jets.
All right, so my next one is going to be a tandem or a pair. It's going to be Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry. Now, we can probably sit here and say this every week, don't start the freaking Titans. They're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, who have given up 185 yards on the ground this season. That's 3 games.
Ooh.
185 yards. That's pretty good.
That's
good for best in the NFL.
Check. Let me do the math. Yeah, that's pretty
185
good.
185 divided by 3 is like 60.
Carry the 1.
You know, that's wow. So, yeah. Not that you were starting Deion Lewis or Derrick Henry, but you might be in a bind with McCaffrey on a bye or something like that, or maybe even Adrian Peterson for the Redskins. I'm looking elsewhere, or I'm leaving that spot blank. I don't know if you can, if you're in a league that scores negative points, but it kind of seems like this type of game for the slop that is Tennessee Titans. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if Tennessee wins this game like 12-11 or something like that, but I wouldn't look for a lot by the Tennessee Titans running back.
You brought up a great point. I actually have my ice play down here as I will go. I'll commit to the whole game this time like I should have last week. I don't like any Eagles or Titans in this game. Now, the one play I would make is if you're in a spot at quarterback again, bye weeks, maybe there's not another good option on the waiver wire, and I might even be in this situation this week. Carson Wentz is probably okay to start. You can probably go ahead and fire him off, but the Eagles just, they're going to have just spread out weapons. Yeah. You're not sure who's going to score when. Dallas Goedert looks like he might be a player, and it's just going to be confusing as hell. But I could see Wentz going 2 touchdowns, 250, something along those lines.
If I have to pick a Philadelphia Eagle to start, it's probably going to be Nelson Agholor, but he's the only one that I feel comfortable doing so with, you know. And then my last ice player, which this guy, all for whatever reason, when we did the week one and we did the very first episode here of the Fantasy Flex on 99thegame.com, this guy is supposed to be the guy that has the great season, one of our both of our favorites, but it looks like his troubles could continue this week, and that's one Amari Cooper. I do not like Amari Cooper's matchup this week versus the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns are one of those teams, I said this earlier when we were talking about Calvin Ridley. Cleveland Browns have two super talented cornerbacks. Rookie Denzel Ward, who they picked number 4 overall, and then they have Demarius Randall, who came over from the Green Bay Packers, over in the number 2 slot. So wherever you line him up, Amari Cooper is going to get one of them, even if he goes into the slot. Derek Carr has not played very well. He's had flashes, and it just seems like him and Amari Cooper aren't on the same page. I like Amari Cooper's talent. I do believe he still has what it takes to have a great season. I just don't know if this is the week. If you're in a bind, that's not a bad bind to be in, having Amari Cooper on your team. You know, it's just not one that if I have a team where I've got a flex and it's Emmanuel Sanders or Amari Cooper, I'm definitely rolling out Emmanuel Sanders this week.
I have Cooper down here as my last ice pick as well. So this is the first week.
I think we should have compared notes.
It's okay.
But to reiterate. Let them know.
So we doubled down on Philip Lindsay on fire. We doubled down on Amari Cooper on ice. No, because these are the
pushing them all in.
Well,
people.
These are the type of players where you're not really sure what to do. Yep. And I'm out on Amari Cooper. I think he's just going to be that inconsistent type of guy. Part of it's the team, sure. Part of it's him. I have him in two leagues, and I tried to sell him last week, and I couldn't get the value I wanted for him. Yeah. So
and
I hung
see, that
on
might
to
be
it.
The problem if you're looking to bail on a player, especially after he hasn't had a good game. You know, you want to wait for a player to have a 2-touchdown, 100-yard game, then his value increases a little bit. But you're going to have to like lower your standards if you're trying to get rid of a player like David Johnson or Amari Cooper right now after they haven't really done anything.
Ironically, that was the package I was trying to get to somebody. David Johnson and Amari Cooper last week, and I was trying to get as much as I possibly could. And I wound up trading, I forgot who it was, Keenan Allen basically for OBJ, which we'll see how that kind of turns out. Is pretty much how that trade wound up going down. But Amari Cooper is a headache, and if he goes off either this week or next week, if he proves us wrong this week, next big game he has, just try to sell him. Just try to get rid of him.
I would tend to agree there.
I think he's talented, like Bo said, but he's just going to be a headache all season long.
Cleveland Browns, by the way, have only given up 229 pass yards per game this season. They are tied for second in the NFL with 5 interceptions so far through 3 games.
A couple waiver wire pickups as we wrap up this episode of the Fantasy Flex on 92.9thegame.com. Kerryon Johnson. He's someone that should be owned in most leagues. I think some people dropped him heading into last week. Luckily, I hung on to him in almost every league. He's a must-own player moving forward. That's not saying he's a surefire play every week. He's a borderline flex play this week. I believe they're playing at the Cowboys, but he is someone, if he is on your waiver wire, especially if you need help at running back, go ahead and pick him up.
Yeah, so I'm running out there if he's still available. If you didn't believe the week 2 game that this cat had, Tyler Boyd, man, with 6 receptions for 132 yards and a touchdown after 6 receptions, 91 yards and a touchdown in week 2. Coming into Atlanta, the Falcons are going to Cincinnati, doesn't matter.
It's here. It's in Atlanta.
Yeah, coming into Atlanta, the Cincinnati Bengals are. You got a Falcons team that's going to be mad after getting beat up by the Saints. Tyler Boyd has cemented himself as the number 2 wide receiver over in Cincinnati next to A.J. Green. You got John Ross still lingering around, but he hasn't gotten a whole lot of targets from the Red Raider. I don't know if the Bengals win this game. I don't think that they're going to versus the Falcons at home, but they are going to have to throw the ball and throw the ball a lot. Really like Tyler Boyd on this in this game and on your waiver wire this week.
A.J. Green is also dealing with an injury there as well, and if he's banged up or limited, Boyd is an excellent play. He's actually that type of thing where he probably wants A.J. Green to be playing, so he gets a little bit of the soft coverage there. Buck Allen is someone else I have down here on the waiver wire, and that's somebody that I don't trust at all in any way, shape, or form, but he's Mr. Vulture, and he's somebody like, I don't know who to play. I've got no one to play in my flex. I think he's had a touchdown in every game so far, and he's someone, he's almost like a tight end. You just roll him out there and hope he scores a touchdown. If you're in a situation that's, there's not a lot on the waiver wire, some of the names we haven't mentioned aren't out there, pick him up, play him, and pray.
Yeah, so I've got Ben Watson on my list, who New Orleans Saints tight end. Five catches for 71 yards off of six targets. Look, the tight end landscape in the NFL and fantasy football this year is muddled at best. You've got a couple that are good, like three, and then you've got everybody else. If you've got injuries, so you're the Delanie Walker owner or something like that, Jonnu Smith, his backup, hadn't really worked out. He plays for the Titans after all. Ben Watson could be somebody that's more than likely going to be out there on your waiver wire. You know, the Saints have a high-powered offense. This we know. Josh Hill is still there. But six targets from Drew Brees can turn into something pretty special for you. And, you know, 70 yards, if you throw a touchdown in there with that, he had five targets the week before. You know, all of a sudden Ben Watson has a double-digit point game, which is really all you can expect from your tight end at this point in time.
One other guy I want to mention, there's plenty of people at this position out there, but Baker Mayfield, you know, he came on well-documented, save the Browns. He's the next hero. He's the next big thing. We should probably calm down on all of that. But to me, he's an interesting guy because I think he has a lot more upside than certain quarterbacks in that 12 to 15, 16, 17 range, especially when you get into bye weeks. And if you don't feel great about maybe the one quarterback you got or the backup quarterback you got, go ahead and pick him up. I'm actually debating right now internally whether I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield as my backup quarterback or Andrew Luck the rest of the season, because the interesting thing about Andrew Luck this past week, for those who saw the end of that Colts-Eagles game, they brought in Jacoby Brissett to throw the Hail Mary, yeah. And it wasn't even that long of a Hail Mary. It was about 50 yards. So it's a concern. He's only completed, Andrew Luck this is, has only completed two passes of 20 yards or more this season. So that's a concern moving forward. And I think Baker Mayfield may have more upside than Andrew Luck this year, which I can't believe I'm saying out loud on this podcast
right now. I'm not sure if I'm completely willing to buy into that yet. Andrew Luck is a quarterback that I have rostered in quite a few leagues. Maybe I go pick up Baker Mayfield. Bless him then. I'm not ready to bail on Andrew Luck yet, though. Andrew Luck is a top five quarterback when completely healthy. Let's just hope that he shakes off the rest of this rust. If you are in a two quarterback league and Baker Mayfield is for some reason out there, or you are in a quarter or a league where you have a quarterback coming up on a bye, he's a pretty good fill-in, I think, depending on the matchup. Not quite ready to put him ahead of Andrew Luck in my quarterback rankings as of yet, but I got two more here for you. Another tight end, because tight end is just a dumpster fire in the NFL this year. Dallas Goedert for the Philadelphia Eagles, 70 receptions for 73 yards and a touchdown. They still got Ertz over there, but this is a pretty high-scoring offense, you know, and if you can get seven receptions and a touchdown any week from any tight end, that's a pretty good week, you know. So Dallas Goedert, the backup tight end, still got no Alshon Jeffrey on the Philadelphia Eagles. Not very many weapons whatsoever. They do throw their running backs a little bit, but I mean, a dart throw of a play if you have a tight end on a bye, especially this week.
You just mentioned it, Bo, with Jeffrey being out, and Goddard's a good guy in the red zone, even with Ertz out there, and he's someone just to keep an eye on moving forward. I mean, they did trade up in front of the Cowboys to draft Dallas in Dallas to be their second tight end. So he's someone that they do want a part of this offense.
And then one more waiver wire pickup that I have is this guy was drafted in a bunch of leagues, and I wouldn't have even thrown him in here on this part of the segment had I not put a waiver wire pickup in for him on this morning in one team in one league, and that's Calvin Ridley, man. Look, the Falcons have a legit number two receiver. I actually stole that Julio Jones joke off the internet, by the way, off of Twitter or something like that earlier. That was not original. I'll cop to that. But look, man.
You don't have to tell anybody. It's okay.
Calvin Ridley is legit, all right? And I think that they discovered that this week. They found a way to use him. You're going to double up Julio Jones in most occasions on most teams because you're not going to have a cornerback talented enough to go on and go at him one-on-one, which is going to leave a lot of one-on-one matchups for Calvin Ridley. So if he's out there, I mean, you can probably start Calvin Ridley. He's up there in that Juju Smith-Schuster range where he's a number two receiver, but he's probably going to finish like in the top 20 if these performances continue. And there's all signs point to the fact that they will.
That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Fantasy Flex. I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson. Check us out at 929thegame.com and trust our fire and ice picks.
Trust our fire and ice and go to 929thegame.com this weekend. We are going to post some rankings for you, so that'll be fun.
Peace out, guys. Until next week.
Cheers.